You stirred up a little bit today? I'm telling you, it matters how you come to church. I tell people all the time, it's not all up to the preacher. It's not all up to the pastor how things go. You know, you play a big part in that. Those of you watching and joining us online today, you got a part to play in this. When you come in with some expectation, when you come in with some excitement, it can be the difference in whether or not you walk out receiving what you came believing God for. So if you are sleepy right now, then change that. Stir yourself up a little bit. Isn't that what the scripture said? Stir up your faith. Stir that up on the inside. So why don't we do that together before we get into the word today? I know we've sung, we've worshiped the Lord, we've worshiped him with our giving. And before we get into the word, I think it would be good if we just kind of just stir ourselves up, stir up some expectations, some excitement about it. Amen. Let's pray together and come into agreement. Father, we come before you. We come before your word today. And we come, Heavenly Father, with eyes wide open, with ears open, hearts open. We come with an excitement today. We come with expectation. We come with faith, believing that you are true to your word, that your word is true, and it's going to prove itself true today in our lives, in this place. We give you all the thanks in advance right now for the miracles that are coming out of our time together today, for the healing that's happening even right now as we come before you in praise, in prayer, in worship. Thank you, Father, that you are so good. Thank you for being so faithful to watch over your word and perform it in our lives. We are excited. I said, we are excited. We're excited about your word. We're excited about your spirit. We're excited about your power on display in our lives. And we give you all the thanks and the praise for every good thing you've begun in us. We call you faithful to finish it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This afternoon, if you would please open your Bibles with me. We're going to look at several scriptures together. And I want you to find, first of all, Philippians chapter 1, and maybe we'll have these scriptures on the screen for you. Do we have that? Okay, great. These guys around here, do you not appreciate the team, this Karis team, the Andrew Womack Ministries team? I'll tell you what, they are awesome. We've had a privilege for the last several years to have what I call a front row seat to what God is doing on this campus, but not just here, on this campus, reaching out beyond this campus. You realize that this place is having a worldwide impact, and you and I get to be witnesses of it, and it's a privilege. While you're looking for Philippians chapter 1, I want to remind you of something that the scripture said in Luke chapter 5. You remember the day that Jesus had come into a house, and a lot like this, there were people gathered in the house that day. And I think the first few rows of people in the house that day who came to hear Jesus were Pharisees, lawyers, scribes, not exactly members of the Jesus Christ fan club. You understand what I'm saying? These were people who were there in all likelihood to find fault with what he was saying. And it seemed like everywhere he went, there was a group of these. They were following him, listening critically, listening with a critical ear. And I think some of those people are still around today. But they were in the house that day. But the Bible says in Luke chapter 5, it's verse 17, Jesus was there and they were there. But there's a verse that I've had on my heart all day in praying over you. It's part of this verse. It says, the power of the Lord was present to heal, notice this, them. Who them? All these guys that are there to find fault with him. All these people that were there listening through a critical ear, watching with critical eyes, yet the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Somebody say mercy. That's the goodness of God right there. Now, you know what happened that day. There was a man who was paralyzed, and his friends brought him to the house. They were tired of carrying his self around, so they said, you're going home. You're walking home today, brother. We're getting in this house. And when they got to the house, you remember this, they couldn't get in. And so they said, we're not leaving here unless you walk in home. I'm done carrying you around. So they looked up and they found a way to get on top of that house, right? You know this story. And they uncovered the roof. They dug a hole in the roof and they started lowering this guy down to the feet of Jesus.
and saying, Jesus, heal this brother of ours. We are tired of carrying him around. Do something with him. And we know he got healed. We know Jesus said to him, your sins are forgiven. Take up your bed and walk. We don't know if the rest of the people in the house got healed that day. Perhaps there were some, but here's what we do know. What did it say? The power of the Lord was present to heal them. I want you to say that with me. The power of the Lord was present to heal. Bring it into the present tense. The power of the Lord is present to heal. Say it again. The power of the Lord is present to heal. If you're watching online, say that with us. The power of the Lord is present to heal. It is. Anytime the word is being preached, what do you know? The power of the Lord is present to heal. And I want you to get stirred up about that today. And I'm saying this to you before we get into the message time here, because what I believe the Spirit of God wants to say to us today is not what you might call a typical healing message. As a matter of fact, I'm not even sure that healing so much is the topic of this message. But if you look at the ministry of Jesus, the Bible says he went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. We know what Jesus preached. He preached the gospel of the kingdom everywhere he went. What was the subject of his message? The kingdom. Always it was the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. The kingdom of the Lord is present. The kingdom of God is in you. And he preached the gospel, which means what? Good news of the kingdom. So healing wasn't necessarily the topic or title of his sermon, and yet the Bible tells us every time he preached the kingdom, you know what happened? Healing happened. Healing happened every time Jesus preached the kingdom. He preached the gospel, healing comes right on the heels of it. He preaches the kingdom, healing comes right on the heels of it. So even when healing isn't exactly the topic of the message or the subject of the sermon, is the power of the Lord still present to heal? You believe it is. You better believe it is. So I believe what the Spirit of God would say to us today, there is healing in it, but I want you to listen to it with an open heart, an open mind, and let him lead us into it. And again, the title's not about healing. The subject isn't so much about healing. Actually, they were asking me before the service started, what's the title of this message? And I'm giving this message a title I've never given a message before. The title of this message, Get a Grip. Get a Grip. Look at your neighbor. Tell them, get a grip. Did you find Philippians chapter 1? Look at this with me, starting in verse 3. This is familiar to you, and again, we'll have this on the screen for you. Paul, writing to this church, he said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. You know, there are just some people you want praying for you. There are some people in your life that it ought to comfort you to know they're in the face of God for you. I've got some people like that in my life. I've got some family like that in my life, parents, grandparents. I've got some friends like that in my life. When they say, hey, I'm praying for you, it does something good for me on the inside to know they're praying. You know, you want to know why I get excited about it? Their prayers get answered. Now, there are some people you may not want praying for you. But if you were to make a list of people you want praying for you, I would think Paul would be somewhere at the top of that list. Come on, anybody else? And this is what he's saying to them. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you every time I pray. This is powerful. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing. So he's giving us a glimpse into what he's praying over them. This is the prayer. That he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. This is his prayer. Jesus, I know you've begun something good in these people. And I'm in faith. I'm in joy, believing you are working in them and you will complete it. You will perfect it. You will bring it to completion. This is his prayer. He said that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, with that in mind, skip down a few verses with me to verse 24. It's in these verses that Paul is writing to them, telling them, kind of giving them a window into his own soul and what's going on in his life. You remember when he said, I can't decide what to do, whether to stay with you or to go to be with Christ. This is when he said to die is gain. He's like, man, it should be better to be with Jesus. But as he's writing this, contemplating this decision, you see right here, he comes to his conclusion while he's writing. And he says in verse 24, Philippians 1, 24, nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all, notice this, for your progress. Somebody say your progress. Say it again, progress. Paul's trying to make this decision. Do I stay? Do I go to be with the Lord? And here was the final straw, what brought him to the decision to stay. He said, I'm staying, and it's for you and your progress. For your progress, he said, and joy of faith. He said something similar, used a similar word here in 1 Timothy chapter 4. For time's sake, don't turn there. You can listen to this, but in 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, Paul wrote to this young minister and said, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and conduct and love and spirit and faith and purity till I come. Give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. That's what you're doing in this room right now. You are giving attention to the word of God. You could be anywhere. You could be doing anything, but you're here. Those of you watching online, you're tuned into this. You're giving attention to this. He said, till I come, give your attention to reading, to exhortation. That's the preaching of the word, to doctrine. He said, don't neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on the hands of the eldership. He said, meditate on these things, give yourself, I like this, entirely to them. Paul's talking to Timothy about his ministry, and without taking too much time to go through the backstory here, Timothy's going through some hard times. The church has really grown, but some of the elders in the church who are much older than him are not real happy with the fact that this young man has been put in leadership and he's the pastor of this church, and they're pushing back against him. And Paul had to write to Timothy, said, look, I'm mindful of your tears. I know you're crying about this. And he said, till I get there. What's that sound like? Daddy's coming. I'll work this out. I'll figure it out. I'll get it straightened out. Till I get there, though, here's what I want you to do. Give your attention to this. In other words, give your attention to this, not that. Give your attention to the word of God, not the word of people. Come on, are you seeing this? Yes. Give your attention to reading, to exhortation, to the doctrine. What's he saying? Timothy, give your attention to what you're called to. You're spending too much time thinking about, caring about, crying about what everybody else has to say about you. I'm coming. I'll work on it. Until then, you give your attention to this. And again, that's why you have my respect today. You're here giving attention to this. Does it matter what you give your attention to? Does it matter what you're paying attention to? It does. He said, give your attention to the reading of the word, the exhortation, the preaching of the word, the doctrine. Meditate on these things. And look at what he said would happen when your attention's in the right place. He said, if you meditate on these things and give yourself entirely to them, we might say, throw yourself into this. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress, there's that word again. Somebody say it again, progress. That your progress may be evident to all. Your progress. Why did Paul say, I'm staying a little while longer? I'm not going to be with the Lord right now, even though, man, that sounds great. I'm staying, one reason, for your progress. What did he tell Timothy? You give yourself to these things and your progress will be evident, obvious to everybody. Progress. We as people of faith, you know what I mean by that? People who take God at His word, people who believe big things about God. Am I in the right place this afternoon? People who believe God is good, people who believe Jesus is the Savior, He's the healer, He's the Prince of Peace, He's our deliverer. We believe some big things about this big God of ours, and we take Him at His word, and we're willing to walk by faith and not by sight. Come on, am I talking to you?
Yes.
We, as people of faith, what goes hand in hand with that is vision. Faith creates vision. Confidence. Now, every time I talk to you about faith this afternoon, I want you to hear that word confidence. That's what faith is. Faith in God is confidence in God. Faith in His word is confidence in His word. And through confidence in His word, His Spirit goes to work on the inside of us and creates a vision. Creates a vision of who and what He's called us to be and He's called us and created us to do. And the more time you spend with Him, have you noticed this? The bigger that vision gets, the more expansive that vision becomes. And I've found out it not only gets expansive, it gets expensive. But that's all right. We're faith people, right? Come on, faith people. We believe in a big God. And we believe He's able, and we believe He's willing, and we believe He's powerful, and we believe He is love. And there's nothing He wouldn't do for us. There's nothing He wouldn't give to us. I'm gonna keep preaching until you start shouting. This is what we believe about Him. This is what makes us people of faith. It creates that vision, and we can see out into our future. Isn't that what Jesus said the Holy Spirit was in you to do? To show you things to come? Now, we may not see and know every detail about it, but man, we've gotten a glimpse of the things, like I said, He's called us to do and created us to be. And as a person of faith, you run towards that vision in faith instead of from it in fear. You know that verse that says, without vision, what happens? People do what? Is that kind of a funny verse to anybody else? People perish. What does that mean? They die, right? Without vision, people die. But I haven't seen this, and I don't know that you have or any of us have, but somebody's out in, a public place, a grocery store. They're standing in line at a grocery store, and all of a sudden, and they drop dead. And everybody goes, oh, what happened? And somebody says, no vision. It doesn't really compute, does it? Well, what the Bible says there, and you study other translation, it says without prophetic revelation, without vision, one translation says people cast off restraint. And what that means to me is that when you have a vision and you can see where you're headed, that vision will create boundaries in your life. Now, within those boundaries, you and I are limitless. But outside those boundaries, you remember when God spoke to Joshua after Moses had died? And He said, every place the sole of your foot will tread, what did He say to him? I've given it to you. But do you know what He said next? From this river to this line to this border. And He started creating boundaries. And He's saying to him, inside these boundaries, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Okay, well, what about outside those boundaries? Well, God hadn't made a promise to him outside those boundaries. See what I'm telling you? Vision creates boundaries for us. Now, we're limitless inside those boundaries. All that to say this, why would anybody choose to live without vision? If the result is perishing, if the result is living without those boundaries, why would somebody choose to not press towards a vision? Well, we've already answered it. It gets bigger. It gets more expansive than they can even comprehend. It's too good. But as people of faith, we don't see that vision and run from it. which is what's happening all over the world. Even, sad to say, among many Christians, they get a glimpse of what God's called them to be, to do, and it just looks impossible. I'm going to tell you something. If you're staring at something right now that looks impossible, congratulations, you're hearing from God. Amen. I mean, is he ever going to show you something? Then he says, this is what I've called you to. And you're going to go, okay, yeah, I can do that. No. Is he ever going to show you something that you're going to say, oh, okay, that's not too bad. I got what I need to pay for that. No. He's always going to put something out in front of you. Check this out. That requires him. Why would he give us something that we could take the glory for? He's not going to do it. He's going to give you a vision of something that you have to depend on him for, that you are totally dependent on him to do, because without him and apart from him, it's impossible. You see what I'm saying? All that to say this to you. The life of faith is connected to vision. But one of the things that we, as people of faith, I'm going to pick on us a little bit, we're not so good at recognizing progress. Let me say it again. One of the things that I have observed in my own life and from those around me, as people of faith, we're not so good at, that is recognizing progress. Why? Because, man, we got that vision out in front of us. And we can see it. We can see it clear. We can see it reaching people and impacting people. And the problem is, we're not there yet. And all we recognize is that we're not there yet. And that's dangerous. If you and I fail to recognize when we're making progress, that's an open door to the enemy to bring in discouragement. Now, let me apply this to healing. Part of walking in divine health begins with a vision of divine health. You, no matter what's going on in your body, no matter what pain is present, no matter what diagnosis has been given, as people of faith, wherever you are right now, what you need first is a vision of you healed, whole, strong, glorifying God in your body. Amen? Amen. And this is part of the work of the Holy Spirit. He's at work inside of us, revealing Jesus to us. And the Bible says, when we see him, we will be like him. So what the Spirit of God's got to go to work doing, especially when you're in pain, especially when sickness is present, especially when you've been given a bad report and even a short amount of time to live, one of the first things that's got to happen is a vision on the inside. You got to start prospering on the inside before you can start prospering on the outside. You got to be healed on the inside so that you can be healed on the outside. So the Spirit of God's got to go to work in you. And I see myself strong, and I see myself able. I see myself running. I see myself lifting. I see myself conquering this thing. But so many people get tripped up right there. They can't see it. They can't. Every time they go to imagine themselves well and whole, instead they see themselves in their present condition, in their current position. But if you're willing and able, and the Spirit of God is able to do this work in you, he'll create an image of you living life healed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, full of life, full of strength, running, leaping, praising God. He'll paint that picture on the inside of you. And that's a good thing. But here is where the enemy tries to get in. You've got that vision, and one day goes by, and 2 days go by, and 3 weeks go by, and 4 months go by, and you got that vision of you healed, but these feelings aren't lining up yet. So you know what happens? The enemy comes, and one of the first things he says, is, it's not working. It's not working. It's not working. Excuse me. I cut my finger trying to open a can last night, and it decides to open up on me right now. Excuse me. I'm healed in Jesus. I don't know if you've ever heard the enemy say that to you or not. It's not working. This is one of his favorite things to say. And if you listen to that, you start buying into it. You got a Band-Aid for me? Thank you. I'll let you know here in just a second. That's one of his favorite things to say. You want to know how you fight that? You look for progress. You look for where you have made progress. And here's one of the things that'll help people, even in their vision and increasing in a vision of what life looks like strong. And I don't care if you're talking about your healing. I don't care if you're talking about your family being restored, your finances being strong again. If you're struggling to even see yourself well, okay, start here. Can I see myself better? Can the Spirit of God go to work on the inside of me? Can I see myself better? Maybe it's not all the way there. Maybe I'm not running, leaping yet. But what can I believe God for to see myself better than I've ever been? Can you see what I'm telling you right now? Progress. Somebody say it again. Progress. Progress. And I want to show you this from the Scriptures, why I believe this is so important. Go with me, please, to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1. And let's look at verse 18. Paul, again, writing to Timothy. He said, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare." He's talking to him about these prophecies, these words that have come and been delivered and spoken over him. And he said, this is what you do with those. You fight with them. These are your weapons in your fight of faith. You go back to the word of the Lord that's been spoken to you. You go back to the word of the Lord that's been declared over you. You go back to the Scriptures and you use these in your fight of faith. He said that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith. Notice that phrase, having faith, having confidence. That's the New King James. It says having faith. The King James Bible says holding faith. The New Living Translation says cling to your faith. I like the Amplified Classic that says holding fast to faith. This means to remain tightly secured. What did I tell you the title of this message is? Get a grip. Can you see this is what Paul is telling Timothy? Get a grip on what? That faith. Hold on to it. Cling to it. Get a grip on it. He said, hold on to that faith, get a grip on that faith and a good conscience. Notice this, which some having rejected. Rejected what? Rejected faith. Now that word paints a picture in our minds of somebody, maybe somebody who's hearing it for the first time. They're hearing the gospel. They're hearing the word of God be preached, and they hear it and they think, nah, I don't buy into that. That's a bunch of fairy tales. That's an old archaic book. Nah, that's not for me. And that's kind of what the word reject paints in our minds. But that's not necessarily what he means here. And I don't think that's what he's talking about. This word reject, let me give you the definition. It literally means, and other translations say this, to put away. To put away from you, to thrust away. One says to cast away. This is not somebody who's heard this or is hearing it for the first time. This is somebody who's heard it and at one point believed it. And now, instead of clinging to it, they're pushing it away. Instead of holding tight to it, instead of keeping a grip on it, they're casting it away. Can you see the picture he's painting here? Timothy, you hold on to this, not like other people who have thrown it away. He said, concerning the faith Notice this now. Is this on the screen for you? Look at that. Concerning the faith, what's happened? They've suffered what? Shipwreck. Concerning the faith, they've suffered shipwreck. And he even tells Timothy who he's talking about. He said, of whom Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Evidently, these two guys, him and Alexander, at one point, we don't know a lot about them, but at one point, these guys were in the ministry with Paul. At one point, they sat under this ministry. At some point in the past, they loved it. At some point, they were shouting amen to it. This is good. Preach it, Paul. But something happened. And we don't know if offense got in or they heard some other teaching or some other preaching. Something happened. And instead of clinging to this faith, they cast it away. Instead of getting a grip on it, they pushed it away from them. And what was the result? Shipwreck. Shipwreck. Now, that paints a picture. Just that word itself. It's an interesting way to describe somebody's walk of faith. They've shipwrecked in their faith. I don't know a whole lot about this. I'm not a sailor or anything like that. But I do know shipwrecks, at least for the most part, don't happen on nice, pretty days on calm, clear seas. They happen in what kind of conditions? Storms. Storms. And the Bible even records for us a couple of different shipwreck or near shipwreck events. Do you remember in the book of Jonah when Jonah's running from God? That's like the dumbest idea ever. He's trying to run from God. And you remember what happens? This great storm comes and all the sailors who are transporting cargo, this is their livelihood, this is their business, this is money on board the ship. This storm creeps up on them. They're afraid for their lives. You know what the Bible says they start doing right away? Throwing stuff overboard. They take that cargo, right, that they are transporting. And this is the paycheck, right? And they are throwing it overboard. Now, when you're in the middle of the ocean, you don't set something down and think, I'll come get this later. It's gone. And they're throwing it overboard. They're scared. It always made me curious, like, why is that the first step to start throwing things overboard? They start trying to lighten the ship. You see the same thing take place in the New Testament. Remember this in Paul's own ministry in the book of Acts. Let me read this to you. This is from Acts 27. You remember when Paul was prisoner and they got on the boat and he said, guys, I don't know if we should be sailing today. He said, I got a witness about this. This is not going to end well. Did they believe him? No. They said, no, we're going to go ahead and sail. Okay. But you know what happened? They get out there thinking everything was fine, but then here comes this storm. And in verse 18 of Acts 27, the Bible says, because we were exceedingly tempest tossed, notice this, the next day, somebody say the next day. What'd they do? They lightened the ship. That is a nautical term that literally means to attempt to stabilize by throwing things overboard. And that caught my attention not long ago. When did they do this? The next day. So the storm comes, and the next day, they start throwing stuff overboard. And this verse goes on, it says, on the third day. So we know what they did day two. They're starting to throw stuff overboard. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. You know what the tackle is? This is all the gear. This is all the equipment. This is all the ropes. This is all the cranes. This is like needful stuff. You need this stuff. Day two of the storm, they're throwing stuff overboard. Day three of the storm, they're throwing all the ship's tackle overboard. Isn't it interesting how quickly, after a storm hits, people start casting away? Can you see what Paul is saying to Timothy here? These guys who used to be in this with us, faith guys, vision people, loved what we love, for whatever reason, they have rejected it. They've started throwing things overboard. They're casting away. Listen to just the terminology, cast away, shipwreck. Does that sound like he's talking about what happens as a result of a shipwreck? Cast away? Sounds like a good movie. Cast away, shipwreck. And he's using these terms to describe somebody's life of faith. He said, because they've thrown everything overboard, they have suffered shipwreck in their faith. And it's interesting to me. In a natural situation like this, why would they be throwing things overboard? Why the ship's tackling? Why the cargo? Why the furniture? Why all that? It's stuff, when a storm hits, the first thing they do is look for things they don't think they need. As much as we want to sell that cargo, as much as it is important to us, if we don't throw it over, we could lose our lives. So it's in this attempt of self-preservation in the midst of a storm, early in the storm, right when the storm hits, we're talking day two, day three, they start throwing overboard things they think aren't helping. And can I tell you that this is what so many people have done with their faith? They hear good word. They hear word that has excited them, that stirred things up, even changed hearts, changed minds. And they hear good faith teaching, good grace preaching, find out about that finished work of Jesus, find out about that healing power of God that's made available to them. And man, you remember what happened to you when you first heard about that? Excitement came, especially if you grew up hearing something else, especially if, say, you spent a lot of time in a different environment that said, well, we don't know if it's God's will to heal, and we're not sure if he still does that now. And then you turned on that cowboy from Texas and he's preaching. You know that cowboy up there in the mountains of Colorado preaching the gospel truth, and you saw it on TV and you thought, where has this been my whole life? Amen. Am I telling anybody's testimony in here today? And it so got all over you that you packed up and you moved from wherever you were to up to the mountains of Colorado, and you thought, I got to hear more of that. That's what I need in my life. You remember that excitement, right? I'm trying to get you to remember some excitement this afternoon. Yeah, we got excited about it. But how many people have gotten excited about that same teaching, that same preaching, that same spirit of faith? But when the storm hit, and day two and day three, they still found themselves in the midst of it. Now, if you keep reading about that storm that Paul went through, it was not a couple of days. It was 14 days that they didn't see the sun. And they were driven about up and down in the Adriatic Sea, not eating, assuming lives that their lives were lost. How many people have taken what they thought was doing nothing for them and threw it overboard? I've seen it happen. You've seen it happen. And I'm telling you, none of us, not one of us, not me, not you, are exempt from that same thing. Every one of us will face that temptation. As a matter of fact, listen, I believe the greatest temptation you or I or anybody will ever face, it's not the temptation to sin in the way we think of sin. It's not the temptation to lie. It's not the temptation to cheat or to steal. You want to know what the greatest temptation you will ever face is? the temptation to stop trusting God. Let me say it to you in terms of what we're discussing today. The temptation to throw your faith overboard. Because the enemy comes, especially in the midst of a storm, and you know what he says? This isn't working for you. This isn't working for you. This faith thing isn't working for you. This confessing the word of God, what do you think that's going to do? Huh? What do you think that's doing? That's not doing a thing. It's not working. It's not working. It's not working. And the reason so many people buy into it is because, yeah, they got this vision out in front of them and they can see themselves healed and whole and all that. But they look at that vision, then they look back to who and what they are right now and they think, how am I ever going to get from here to there? And discouragement sets in. And if you feed on that and meditate on that long enough, you know what you're going to start doing? Throwing things overboard. This isn't working. I don't know why I ever bought into that. I don't know why I ever believed this. I don't know why I ever gave him that offering. I don't know why I ever said this, did that. Why in the world did I up and move my family across the country? It's not working. It's not working. It's not working. I'm telling you. Check this out. You ready for this?
Yes.
Would you agree with me if I were to tell you everything out of the mouth of Satan is a lie?
Yes.
Would you believe that?
Yes.
So when he comes and says, it's not working, what should you and I know right away? It's working. It's working. Even if I don't see it, it's working. Jesus spoke to the fig tree, and you know, it wasn't until the next day that they saw it again. But the Bible says it dried up from where? The roots. Somebody help me. Where are the roots? Where you can't see. But the moment he spoke, it started working. Now, maybe you couldn't see it in the trunk yet. Maybe you couldn't see it in the limbs. Maybe you couldn't see it in the leaves. Maybe you couldn't see it in anything else out there on top. But the moment he spoke that word, that faith command, it started working. It was working. It was working. It was working. And it started in those roots. And it began to dry up. And it began to dry up and dry up and dry up. And that whole time, what's happening? It's making progress. Progress. I'm telling you, this is the key to not throwing your faith overboard. Look for progress. The enemy would love you to believe nothing more than to totally buy into this it's not working thing. But just stop. Whenever you're tempted to believe that, stop right there and say, okay, if he's saying it's not working, the first thing I know is it's working. Whether I see it right now or I don't, whether I feel it right now or I don't live by what I see, I don't live by what I feel. So I know it's working. The next thing you need to start doing is look for progress and ask yourself, am I further than I was when I started? Have I made progress? Now, maybe we're not living in the full completion of that vision yet. Maybe the manifestation of that thing is still down the road. Fine. Praise God. You know what? If you're going to be a person of faith and you're going to live with vision, it's always going to be in front of you because in God, there's always more. And you're not pressing towards something where you can say, oh, I'm arrived. I've arrived. I'm done. No. Just as you come to the completion of this part, you know what God does? Let me show you what's next. Let me show you what's coming because in Him, there's always more. So if you're willing to live with that, which most people aren't, most people are not willing to live with a vision. But if you are, then there's always going to be something out in front of you. So where's the balance? How do we live with there's always something out in front of us? We celebrate the progress. We celebrate how far we've come. We celebrate the fact that he who did what? Began a good work is faithful to complete it, to keep working on it. I'm here to encourage you this afternoon. Healing is a good work. It's a good work, And the moment you gave your life to Jesus and he became the Lord of your life, that good work began in you. And he is faithful. Come on, somebody. He is faithful. So start looking for the progress. And if you can see you are that much better, you know what you ought to do? Party. Party. Celebrate. Dance. Shout. Thank God. Tell people, look where I was and look where I am now. And I don't care if they say, really? You're half a step? Don't you dare get discouraged. Why? Because the God of grace who's brought me this far, what else can he do? Take me all the way. If he can get me a half a step better, that means he can get me a whole step better. And if he can get me a whole step better, he could probably get me two or three steps better. Not probably, definitely. And if he can get me two or three steps better than I was when I started, glory to God, that same grace will take me all the way through to where I am that living vision. Do you see what I'm telling you today? I don't want to see you shipwrecked in your faith. How do we avoid that? Don't throw it overboard. Don't cast away, what did the scripture say? Don't cast away your confidence. There it is. Why? Because it has great recompense of reward. There's reward if you won't throw it away. But you start throwing this stuff overboard, here's the seriousness of it. When you reject it and throw it away, you get the same results as somebody who never heard it. Which is nothing. Which is no results. So don't throw it away. Yeah, but I just been believing for so long. What do I do? Man, that is the easiest question to answer. What do I do? Keep believing. Keep believing. What did Jesus say? Blessed is he who believes, how long? To the end. That's not throwing away. That's not throwing it overboard. That's believing all the way to the end. Say amen if this is helping you. Paul is telling Timothy here to hold on to his faith, cling to it, get a grip on it, hold fast to it, don't throw it overboard like these other individuals did. Now, Paul evidently went through the same thing. Do you remember what he told Timothy in 2 Timothy? He said, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I have kept my faith. He faced the same temptation that you and I have faced, that temptation to throw it away, to buy the lie that says it's not working. But we're not believing that anymore, are we? I said, we're not believing that anymore. You know, Paul brought these same individuals back up to Timothy again in his second letter to him. And I'll begin to wrap it up with this. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16, he told him, shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. What message? The message that it's not working. And he even says, who's preaching this message? Who was it? Hymenaeus. And now he's got another guy, Philetus. And they are of this sort who have strayed concerning the truth. They're saying the resurrection's already passed. And they overthrow the faith of some. That word translated overthrow is the same word translated reject. Cast away. These guys started preaching another message. And what was it? Oh, that resurrection thing's already passed. Don't buy that. That's nothing. That's not going to do anything for you. Here, let me preach this message to you. And notice how the Spirit of God said that message spreads like cancer. It's a root of sickness. It's a root of disease. To throw away true faith and buy into some other word, some other message because somebody was able to convince you this thing's not working. Yeah. I don't know this by some word of knowledge. I just know it because I know people. And I know a lot of you came, and many of you watching online, came out of families, came out of a background. Let's just say it like this. They look at you funny for where you are now. Amen. There you go. I heard it. Amen. There's the witness. They don't totally buy into this grace and faith thing that you are so excited about now. This is not the kind of house you grew up in. Maybe you came from a more traditional religious upbringing, or maybe not religious at all. I was at the dentist yesterday, and they were a little late getting to me, and I got into a conversation with the receptionist, and I got her whole testimony. And she's so on fire for the Lord. And I started asking about, well, where'd you come from? Did you born and raised here? She said, no, I'm from another place, California. And I was asking about her family. And she said, no, my parents, they don't know what in the world I've got into. And a lot of people have that same experience. And that's one of the things that you and I, as people of faith, people of vision, who take God at His word, that's one of the things we have to endure, isn't it? Those who don't believe this way, and who would even actively work and fight against it to convince you what? It doesn't work. That doesn't work. And the greatest temptation you're ever going to face is the temptation to stop trusting God. But I want you to hear the words of Paul. Get a grip. Get a grip. On what, Paul? That faith, that confidence, and don't you let any unbelieving family member, unbelieving friend, don't you let any spirit in this world talk you out of what you know to be true. Your faith and your confidence in God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Jesus is our healer. Are you convinced of that? Yes. Will you stay convinced of that?
Yes.
Huh? What about day two of the storm? What about day three of the storm? Huh? What about 2 weeks into the storm? Are you still convinced? Are you as convinced that day as when you started? Yeah, but what about when weeks or months or years or whatever has gone by? Huh? What about then? What do you go back to? He who began a good work in me, He'll finish it. And I'm making progress. Amen. Somebody say it. I'm making progress. Look at your neighbor. Tell them, we're making progress. That might have been a sweeter title. We're making progress. But I'd like get a grip. Come on, get a grip. Amen. Stand on your feet with me. Glory to God. We're out of time, but I do know this. The power of the Lord is present to heal. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just worship the Lord with me for a moment before we go. Lord, is there anything else you want to say or do in the midst of this? Yes, sir. If you came into class this afternoon with something going on in your body, sickness, pain of any kind, here's what I want you to do, and I believe this is what the Lord's saying to us. Identify how it has limited you. In other words, what have you not been able to do because of that? And here's where we're going to set our faith and come into agreement with each other. We believe that here in these next few, maybe moments, certainly in the next few days, you're going to start making progress. And you're going to see that you're able to do more than you could before. Say, for example, it was something going on in a shoulder, in a joint, or in your back, and it limited movement. I could only lift my arm this high. Okay, well, progress would be a couple inches higher. So can we believe God for that? Now you apply that to whatever is going on in your life, your family, your body, those of you watching online, you apply that same principle. But use that as a picture. I believe the Spirit of God is just trying to paint a picture for you of something where progress could be made. And we're going to set our faith.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we come into agreement with each other based on this word we've heard today. And we're asking you for the quickening of your spirit to take place on the inside of every one of us right now. And first of all, Lord, we ask you, bring to our remembrance, show us where we were when you first began this work in us, and illuminate to our thinking, in our mind, the progress that we've made. And right now, Father, we just lift a hand to heaven and we say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the progress. Thank you, we are not all the way back there where we began, many of us years ago. But you have increased us. You have enabled us. You have strengthened us. And we believe you are increasing us more and more. We thank you for the progress, Lord. We celebrate the progress. We party over the progress. And by your grace, Father, we are not willing to cast away this confidence. But we get a grip right now. If you got to do it as an outward sign and a demonstration, get a closed, tight grip, clenched fist. We get a grip on that faith. Satan, I let you know right now in Jesus' name, you're not stealing our faith. You're not taking faith from us. This is precious to us, worth more than gold, and we will never be talked out of it. We'll never be talked out of the goodness of God. We'll never be talked out of the faithfulness of God. We believe now and forever Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our healer, and you're not stealing our faith. And we're going to come to the end of this road, the end of this life, and we'll say with confidence and boldness the same thing Paul said. We have finished our course. We have run our race, and we have kept our faith. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, Father, we're asking you in these next few moments and days right in front of us, we're asking for more progress, increased progress. And when we see it, oh Lord, we'll thank you for it. We'll celebrate it. We'll give you all the praise for it. We'll give you all the glory for it. And we'll say, look what the Lord has done. We'll say, look what his faithfulness has accomplished in our lives. And if the grace of God can get us this far, that same grace will carry us all the way through in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Did you get something good out of this? Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to send you on your way unless there's anything else we need to do today. Daniel will come back. Come on up. Anything else you want to do, sir? That's what I got in my heart today.
I'm telling you, that was awesome, Jeremy. Thank you so much.
Praise
the
Lord.
What a great word.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it, man. God bless you. Bless you.
I'd like to ask our healing disciples to come, if you would, and let's get ready to minister more personally, perhaps, if you want some time with one of our healing ministers. We want to do that for you. Those of you joining us online, man, what a great word that was today, huh? Woo, hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to go back and listen to that like multiple times. Amen. Those of you joining us on the internet, we have prayer ministers standing by where you are right now. So you don't have to do this alone. Don't feel like you've been left out. Maybe today you're joining us for the first time and you're like, man, I wish I could be in the room right now. Well, you know what? You are. That number on your screen, 719-635-1111. Call that number, and in our call center, we've got people standing by right now. No matter what time zone, what country you're in right now, it doesn't matter. We're available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Hallelujah. And all of that is because of our faithful partners. So we're just so thankful, so grateful that we're able to make this available to you online. And again, thank you for joining us. We love you. Tell your friends about this today. Share this with somebody. I know it's going to be not only a blessing to you, but it's going to be a blessing to whoever you get to share this with. And those of you here in the room, we're going to take some time today to minister to you. So if you want some further ministry, come out into our aisles as you're able to here in this particular configuration, and our ushers will help direct you to our healing ministers. But before you do, I want to share a scripture. If I could ask you guys to do this for me, I know I'm just kind of springing this on you here, but would you put, I'm trying to think of what it is now, 1 Samuel... Actually, would you bring me my phone over on my table, somebody. I just have this scripture in my heart, and I want to make sure I give you the right one, because somebody needs to party. Thank you so much. Yeah, this is 1 Samuel 18. There we go. And beginning with verse 6. 1 Samuel 18, verse 6. When Jeremy said this a little while ago, I was like, you know, I personally went through this. And the Lord shared this scripture with me when I was going through some storms, when I was going through a difficult situation. And look at what David has just come back from a major battle, right? Verse 6. It says, now it had happened as they were coming home, when David was returning from the slaughter of the enemy of the Philistine, that the women came out all of the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. So the women sang as they danced, and they said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And we know the story of what happened, how Saul became angry and jealous over what they were saying. But my point here is that when they came back from this battle, they took time to celebrate. And so many times, maybe you're like me, where I just was going, at least it seemed this way, where I was going from battle to battle, right? And I said, Lord, it just seems like, you know, even in ministry, I'm going from one battle to another battle, helping somebody in a situation, helping a family, helping an individual. And we're just jumping from one battle to another, and I'm starting to feel battle fatigue. And I said, Lord, I thought you said we were supposed to go from glory to glory. And the Lord said this, if you'll take time to celebrate after the battle, you'll go from glory to glory. So listen, wherever you are in this right now, what Pastor Jeremy was just sharing with us, it's, I believe, not only a profound word, but a prophetic word of how God literally wants us to take a moment to measure. Maybe we're not where we want to be, but have we moved from where we were? You know what? Let's take time to celebrate that. Amen? Whatever that looks like for you. When my kids were little, you know, they came home one day and there was a cake on the table. And they're like, whose birthday is it? I said, it's not a birthday. We're going to have a count it all joy party. And we baked a cake just as a representation of this count it all joy party. It wasn't anybody's birthday. We were just going to take a moment of celebrating by faith because of the battle that we were in that moment. And do you know what? It not only changed their lives, it changed my life for sure, but it's helped so many other people realize that, you know, whatever that looks like, maybe for you, it's go get a cup of coffee. Maybe for you, it's, you know, go get a cinnamon roll. Cast out all the calories. Yeah. Maybe for you, it's bake a cake with your kids. But, you know, just whatever that looks like for you, take some time to celebrate the grace of God in your life. And as you do, I believe it's going to become so contagious that you are going to end up throwing a Holy Ghost party in Jesus' name. Would you stand to your feet? Those of you here in the auditorium today, thank you for letting me just share that. Jeremy got me all stirred up today. Hallelujah. And I believe that as we, as the church, are going through the things we're going through right now, I believe God is literally causing a revival of rejoicing to happen in our day and time. We're not going to get more and more sour. We're not going to get more and more depressed or anxious. What's going to happen is the joy of the Lord. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And we're going to see increase in this. As our culture becomes more and more unthankful, we're going to become more and more marinated in the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. The blessings of God are chasing us down. His goodness is literally chasing us down. And as this happens, we celebrate. We celebrate, we give thanks, we celebrate some more. We rejoice and again rejoice and again rejoice. And pretty soon we become so contagious with rejoicing and joy that it starts spilling out on other people. Hallelujah. Would you lift up your hands one more time today? Those of you joining us on the internet, lift up your hands, and let's just take a moment to just rejoice and just bless the Lord for what he's already done. Come on, out of your own heart, with your own mouth, let's just say thank you for today. Thank you for this revelation. Thank you, Lord God, for what Jeremy brought to us today by the Spirit of God. We rejoice and give you praise. We give you thanks, for you are the one that is our healer. You are the one that is worthy of all of our thanks. And Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, that you meet us in every storm and you help us, Lord, to step out of the boats and walk on the water with you. God, we're so grateful and we give you thanks. We give you thanks, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you'll never leave us or forsake us, but you help us celebrate in every battle. Every victory, Lord, is yours. And God, we honor you and we bless you for your life that has so transformed ours. Thank you, Lord, that now it's in you that we live and move and have our being. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Those of you who want some further ministry, please come down and let us minister to you today. Look at all these good-looking healing disciples up here who want to put their jumper cables on you and just be able